This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you with the message for this month, this tract, June, the year 2023. The subject scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. Reading from the King James Version, we find these words recorded: "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." Remember that part. "That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." The subject for this message is The Odd Bunch, part number one. Now, the message for this month concerns something that most people, including most Christians, see as the absolute lunacy displayed by a small group of people that claim to be Christians. In their minds, this group of people are, as most would call them, the fringe right, or as they are also known as, extremists. Now, the question must be asked: what are they doing or not doing to earn this type of notoriety? Quite simply put, they earn these names because of one simple characteristic, and that is, they don't go along with the rest of the crowd. No matter what it is, they seem to want to stand out as being against what everyone else seems to agree on as being the way to go to accomplish a particular goal. And what makes matters worse is that they had the audacity to call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. One would think that if they were really Christians, they would want to put forth the image of a Christ that puts him in a positive or favorable light. After all, this is Jesus Christ that they claim to be representing. Well, to put this into perspective, look at the subject verses of Scripture. We are being told that those that are followers of Christ are called to be a peculiar people. Now, that term alone puts forth the idea that we that are those peculiar people are by design of Christ to march to the beat of a different drum, if you will, than the rest of the world. And why is this? Because the rest of the world, as the scriptures above tell us, is walking in darkness. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? The term darkness carries with it the idea that they can't see or are blind to the causes of problems and the consequences of the decisions that they are making. If you can't see or understand what is causing a problem, then without a doubt, you can't come up with the right solution to fix it. Now, when it comes to the world, talking about unbelievers, that is exactly the position that they are in. How did they get like this? You can thank Adam for that. Part of the curse that God put on of all mankind was that they no longer had the ability to see things the way that God sees them. In other words, they became blind in that area. Now, when I'm using that term, I'm going deterring from the track for a minute. When it says not being able to see things the way God sees them, remember God used to talk with Adam and walk and talk with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And at that time, when God would show Adam something, he would explain to Adam why such and such a thing was like this and such a thing was like that. So he had direct contact with God, and God showed him, gave him the mind to see things the way that God sees them. But after the fall, that ability was lost because man became separated from God, and therefore man lost the capability of seeing things the way that God sees them. Now back to the retract. The result then was when problems arose, they had to rely on what little sense they had left with to deal with those problems. As time marched on, century after century, millennium after millennium, the solutions they came up with that seemed to work were passed down from generation to generation as reliable. Of course, as anyone can attest to, very few, if any, of these solutions has been 100% effective 100% of the time, if at all. This is because of factors that man fails to consider because he is unaware of their existence and how they affect him and his surroundings. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this mindset is not only in the world or among unbelievers, but it has crept into the church as well. According to the subject scriptures, the church is supposed to be the one that has been shown the light or put back in a position to see things the way that God sees them and is tasked with showing the world how to deal with our problems. But as I said, most Christians are in the same position as the world. They can't see the rationale behind what this small group of radicals is doing or saying. The reasons for this are many, but it all boils down to a failure in leadership in the church. And that puts the blame on pastors. If the pastor is blind, then it should be of no surprise that those in the congregation will also be blind. As Jesus says, when the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. You can find those references at Matthew chapter 15, verse number 14, and Luke chapter number 6, verse number 39. And then there's another scripture in Matthew chapter 10 and 24 that says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. This means no one that is relying on their pastor or teacher to help them grow in Christ can ever get any higher than the level that that pastor or leader is at. Now, here is one of those areas where what the world has no problem with can be a disaster in the church. Just because a person goes to college or some other graduate school to get a degree in the area of ministry does not mean that that person is fit to be a pastor or fit to pastor a church. When it comes to running a business or heading some institution or project in the world, the more degrees, the better. However, all the degrees in the world are not enough to get God to accept a person to lead his people. He uses a totally different set of criteria that most people think is necessary for that position. Man looks at degrees, while God looks at the heart. It is only the anointing that qualifies a person to be in ministry, period, let alone being a pastor. What is the anointing, and how does it apply to us today? First of all, it is the special ability bestowed on a person by God to be able to hear from God and see and recognize things that are happening in this physical world and how to deal with them. In other words, it's basically returning us to the position that Adam had with God before the fall. Secondly, they are able to see and understand that the majority of our problems originate in a realm that man might believe exists but doesn't completely understand, and that is the spiritual realm. A person with the anointing realizes that every problem we face in this life has its root in this realm. As a result, just like weeds in the lawn or garden, the only way to get rid of them completely is to destroy the root. Otherwise, if you just cut the weed down with a mower or some other device and leave the root, it won't be long before that weed will pop up again. Well, with us and our problems, the world is just cutting the weed or cutting our problems down while leaving the root completely intact. Why? Because they are blind to the steps that are needed to eliminate the problem, which is dealing with its root in the spiritual realm. There is not one single college, university, or seminary that is aligned with the world view on issues that can prepare any individual for ministry, let alone to be a leader in God's church. Therefore, any building or institution headed up by one of these individuals is not actually God's church, but rather a place that people could go to hear someone that will make them feel good without solving their problems. In other words, what it is, you can go there, and the only reason why you go there to make you feel good without actually solving whatever your problem is. In other words, they just mowing down the sadness that you might have, or depression or something like that, but not getting to the very cause of the problems. They give you a lot of quick fixes that seem to get you over the hump for a few days. Then you are right back in the same mess again. And in a lot of instances, things have gotten worse, meaning you will need twice the remedy you had before to get by. It's like being hooked on drugs. When a person starts out, a little $5 shot, or whatever the case may be, will suffice them, you know, for a while. But as time goes on, they need more and more to get the same level of euphoria they had the first time they, you know, that they tried it. Well, in these churches, the people keep coming back because they need their weekly or daily fix to tide them over. And the pastor provides it for them. Many of them get your attention with their abilities of praying, expounding on the Bible scriptures, and some of the performances that they put on while preaching. I mean, they put on an Academy Award-winning performance. Anyone that didn't know any better would say, this is truly God's man or woman. The problem is, it is a performance designed to make you feel good and not solve your problem. It's designed to get you addicted to this individual or institution. The reason being, this person is looking for a paycheck. If we look at the greatest preacher of all time, talking about Jesus Christ, he didn't perform. In other words, he didn't hoop and holler and dance all over a platform and have a Hammond organ backing him up for effect or nothing else like that. Instead, he was quite bland by today's standards. His message was that God has all types of blessings ready to pour out on those that want them. However, in order to get them, the people need to repent of whatever the evil is that they're doing and come back to him. As I mentioned earlier, most of today's preachers never mention this part of God's plan because they don't see it as because that is not what they were taught. In other words, they are blind in that area. Like I said earlier, they got these degrees from these colleges that don't mention anything about sin and repentances and stuff like that because they don't really understand all that stuff. Anyway, therefore, they have no anointing to see the real source of our problems. The message that Jesus preached was to separate yourselves from the way the world sees and does things. In other words, that's what sets you up. As it says, he said, he goes on to tell us that when we do that, what Jesus says we're supposed to do, we will become a people that will be at total odds with the rest of the world. In other words, we will be a peculiar people or an odd bunch. Those of us that fit into this group tend to be the ones that go to church to get a word from the man of God that will guide us into being a better person. And that means we have to be about changing our ways of seeing and doing things so that we will be pleasing to God. The world, on the other hand, not only goes to be entertained, but to hear someone tell them that their problem or problems are the result of someone or something else, meaning it is not their fault. Human nature tends to guide us away from anything that makes us feel bad about ourselves, and we will tend to avoid it whenever possible. Yet, with God, if we want Him to bless us the way that only He can bless us, then we have to defy that nature and face the message, or face the music, if you want to use the term. Anyway, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." People, we have got a whole lot of fools out there, and the blame for most of that rests with the fools with all types of degrees in the pulpit. When it comes down to personalities and who to take heed to and who to ignore, the ones that holler the loudest and put on a big show for the to get their point across are the ones you need to stay away from, because they want attention. The quiet ones that seem to always be at peace regardless of any situation are usually the ones to hang around, because they know Him, talking about God, to whom all the attention should be given to. I don't blame the pro-choice crowd, the LGBTQ community, the woke generation, or any of the other groups of individuals that have problems with us. They are only acting on the total lack of information that their leaders supply them. Have you noticed that just about in every instance there is a preacher that is at the forefront of each of these groups? That is what they seek. And there is always some idiot out there or some fool out there that will give them legitimacy as long as he or she gets paid for it. If they can't find one, then one of them will get a degree in ministry and become their leader. But as I said, it is all for naught, because their problems will continue to expand and get more serious. Decades ago, women were complaining about the unfairness of pay and benefits in women's sports as compared to men's sports. Well, just about that time that things started turning around for them, along comes a push for men who have identified themselves as women to enter women's sports. The result is biological girls and women are losing competitions to these men women. It won't be long before biological females will be totally eliminated from all sports thanks to the same government officials that passed laws to help them decades ago. More about this next month. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this message as usual with saying that I hope that you got something from this message and that may God bless you and your families real good until next time, the Lord willing. God bless you and good day.